the Fantasy Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob.
You're awful.
And AJ Appleton.
It's Sin Shoe Chew. Mouthful.
All right. Welcome back to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net and writer of SoCalledFantasyExperts.com. On the line, as always, is my co-host, AJ Applegarth.
What's going on, man? How are you? Not too much. Just settling in, getting ready to get this thing going.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a busy week or two here. I got a bunch of drafts coming up. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. This show is mock draft and how to prepare for your drafts and what to do in your drafts and things like that. And last night I participated in a mock draft with a bunch of other industry guys. Bob Harris from Fantasy Diehards, Ali Fontana from Fantasy Fix, Tim Heaney from ESPN and RotoWire. Joe Galina from Roto Experts, Bob Long, our guest last week, Big Guy Fantasy Sports, and on the line, Jim Day, a.k.a. the Fantasy Taz, also came on and participated in the mock. Jim, you there?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Joe, AJ, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming. Last night we participated in the draft hosted by the guys over at the blanking on the name. Fighting Chance Fantasy. So it was a pretty standard, PPR draft. The only difference was there was no kicker and we added a flex. So, you needed to get that extra either wide receiver or running back, depending on how it went. I know I, for one, had a big goof up in the middle of the draft, and if anybody's looking at the draft board, you can find it in the link to the show. I had a big goof. My wife came down and started talking to me, and I missed my eighth pick or something like that, seventh pick. Ended up taking Andrew Luck. And all right, you're thinking that's maybe not horrible, but you have to realize I took Tom Brady in round four, so that was a pretty awful pick. And really kind of put me behind the eight ball in running backs. And because I had only drafted one at that point, it was DeMarco Murray. I thought I had a pretty good way to make it up. I took Doug Martin in round nine. And then I was thinking, all right, for the first few weeks, I'll take either Jarquez Rogers or Darren McFadden or something like that. But in round 10, they went right before me. And so I wasn't able to snag them. So my draft didn't go quite as planned, but thankfully it was just a mock. Besides that, though, Jim, how do you think your draft went when you're looking back at your team?
I actually liked the way it fell out. I had the 12th pick in the first round, so of course the first pick in the second round, the Serpentine draft, as most of these are. When it came to me at 112 and I saw Mike Evans was still on the board, I had to jump on him at that point. I mean, he's got an ADP of 1.06. For him to fall to the end of the round, I had to love that. And then I turn around, Michael Thomas is still there too. I really like starting out with those two guys as my top two wide receivers right off the bat.
Yeah, that's definitely a really money start. Possibly two very elite receivers. So he definitely had some value going there. I kind of thought an interesting pick in the first round. Lord Michaels, Todd Gurley with pick eight? And that seems a little aggressive for Todd Gurley, especially in a PPR league. I mean, maybe he was a little impressed by the second preseason game. I don't know, what do you think about that pick?
I'll tell you what, with LeSean McCoy still on the board, I know there's talk about him possibly being traded. I don't know if that hurts him if he's traded or not, but I, if he's still on the board, I can't see taking Todd Gurley over him.
Yeah, me neither. Definitely not. it definitely is where, you know, that's where some of the value came from, especially for you. So, you know, you're loving it there. You know, then you turned around and you got, I kind of thought, fairly interesting choices for your first couple running backs here. You know, Marshawn Lynch and Leonard Fournette, some guys that have big question marks. You know, you took them over guys like Ty Montgomery and Spencer Ware and Joe Mixon and Carlos Hyde, who may be, most of them are relatively safer maybe than the guys like Fournette to some people because of the foot injury, and Lynch just because of age and possible workload issues. You know, what's your feeling on Lynch and Fournette starting out here?
Okay, well, these two picks would have been totally different if Bob Harris hadn't snaked me just before my pick. I'm sitting there in the middle of round three, and I'm looking at the fact that Rob Gronkowski's still on the board. Now, this middle round three, you're talking about a guy who goes usually in the middle of second round, maybe a little later in the second round, but definitely in the second round. Middle round three, he's still on the board. So now I'm jonesing because I'm a big Gronk guy. I like Gronk. When he's on the field, there's no other tight end like him. And I've been on him since he came into the league. So I'm sitting there and I'm getting happy and I'm happy. You know, pick 3-8, 3-9, 3-10. He's still sitting there. Ali Fontana, who's at the 3-10 pick, I know she doesn't really like to go for tight ends early. I've been playing with her for a long time. And I didn't expect her to take it, but I knew Bob was going to be in trouble. But I was really hoping after his two running back start that he was going to go wide receiver there. But at the very last second, he took Gronkowski and made me have to change my mind. Because before that pick, if he hadn't taken Gronkowski, I was looking at Gronkowski and Lynch. Now, you know, Lynch, he's had a year off. He's fully healthy. He's looking good. He's got a great O-line to run for him behind. He's got a good passing game around him, so they can't stack the box against him. I'm looking for big things from Lynch this year. Every time he steps on the field, he wants to prove something, and I don't think that's going to change. Fournette, sure, you know, you got to be a little concerned about the foot injury, and I'm actually a little bit more concerned about the changes on the Jacksonville offensive line and whether these guys are going to come together as a unit more than anything else. But I still love this kid's explosiveness, his power. You know, he can just do it all, and I like what I see from him. And, you know, I'll take him as my number two running back at the beginning of the fourth round. I just think he's worth that investment.
I'm a big Lynch fan as well. I'm targeting him in a couple of drafts and just trying to figure out where he's going to sit in and where I'll be able to get him. But it just seems, you know, the more and more I hear about it, it's like trying to shade me away from it. And I don't want to because I like the guy. But I keep hearing stuff about this, you know, cartilage issue and in his back, I guess it is. And I don't know. But either way, I like the picks. And I think the Gronk being there, it is tempting, especially in the third round. I mean, if he was sitting there, I wouldn't have a problem taking him either. But that being said, what kind of strategy were you looking at with this mock overall, knowing that it was a double flex league?
Well, see, that doesn't really bother me. I don't really put a lot of extra thought into that because when I draft for a lot of good depth anyway. I always want to make sure that I have good, solid depth, no matter how many flex positions I have. And, this was a short draft, only 15 rounds. So, you know, I'm used to much longer than that. So that actually had to affect some of it. But when I go into a draft like this, especially starting at the 112 position, I'm not really going in with any set mind of, you know, I definitely want to get two wide receivers or I want to get a wide receiver and running back. And that in that first, second pick, I'm just looking for best player available. I can always round out the rest of the draft to match what I do in those first two picks. But at that point, I want to get the two best players that are available to me at that point. And to me, Mike Evans and Michael Thomas just seem like sure locks.
Yeah, I'm big on Thomas this year, too. I love the opportunity that's going to be there with Cooks being gone. You know, I was reading that New Orleans hasn't had a player get, I think, more than a 25% share of the targets from before last year. was the first time it might have happened, and he was the one that got it. So I like him as well. So you obviously liked Thomas more than Howard.
Yeah,
if Thomas had gone...
Howard scares me a little bit, and let me expand on that a little bit, because there's definitely things about Howard that put me off. And you know, I mean, he finished in most PPR leagues somewhere around the 10th RB, which is, you know, solid numbers. You can't complain about that. My biggest problem, though, was most of his scoring came in three big games. He had three big games, I think it was against the Colts, the Vikings, and the 49ers, where, you know, seven of his TDs came in those three games, and three of them came in one game. So I'm not really a big fan of guys that put on major games and then have a lot of subpar games to go along with it. So I like a little bit more consistency. And if you ever tell Bob Lung I ever said that, I'm going to deny it. But when I'm looking early on, I want that consistency, and I'm just not sure Jordan Howard's going to have it, especially with a change of QB, which is looking like it might even go to the rookie.
Yeah.
You know, defenses are just going to stack the box against Howard just to keep that rookie quarterback having to beat them.
Of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's very valid. I like Howard's. I like our skill set, but I don't really like the team around him. So, yeah, that's something I have to worry about. I mean, it's kind of the same issue with Jay Ajayi. It's kind of like, you know, like that, you know, at least there's good receivers around him, and Jay Cutler is sort of capable at times. But you
still
worry about
Jay Cutler.
Kind of target
is, you know, he's going to throw the ball down the field.
Exactly.
He's not going to be shy about throwing the ball.
Yeah. So you got to at least respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether he throws it to the other team or not, that's always anybody's question.
Yeah, so one of the other picks that I noticed you had that kind of, you know, caught my eye was Brandon Marshall in round 6, and you passed up other favorites from other experts such as, you know, Martavis Bryant, Jameson Crowder, you know, and Pierre Garçon. Crowder and Garçon are obviously like heavy PPR targets. You know, Watkins fell really far in this draft, so you passed up on him as well. Well, tell me what you were thinking there and why you chose Marshall over those like 5 or 6 guys.
Because I think everybody that's counting Marshall out already after one bad season is just dead wrong. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. You know, he had the worst quarterback play of his, most likely of his career last year, to produce that bad season. But you're talking about a guy, you know, the year before was a top player, one of the best wide receivers in the game. And again, that was still with a subpar quarterback. You know, I'm not saying Eli Manning is the greatest quarterback in the league, but he's top 10 in passing yardage all time. He's top 10 in passing touchdowns all time. 2-time Super Bowl MVP. He's a little bit better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I just think that the added fact of having Beckham on the other side and him not having to go up against the top cornerbacks every single week, it's just going to make his game all that much better. Plus, you have the two kids in the middle that will just, you know, open up so many things on the outside for Marshall. I think everybody talking about Marshall being done is just wrong.
Yeah, no, I like Marshall. I seem to like him more than most, but I haven't quite gone to the level of putting him ahead of guys like Crowder and Bryant. Closer to Garçon than maybe, you know, he's right there in that Snead Garçon territory. So it's not totally crazy to me to pick him there, but I, you know, just kind of wanted to get your thoughts because I know that people would probably see that and be like, "Wow, that's interesting." So definitely wanted to get your thoughts there.
Well, you know, I mean, Crowder had his best year last year, no doubt about it. PPR machine, you know, should have a good, solid season again. But he doesn't really thrill me. He just never has. Martavis Bryant, he's a guy I really love in best ball leagues where you don't have to set a lineup every week because you know he's going to have, you know, 5, 6, 7 really good games, and that's what you want in a best ball league. But in a start, you know, a starting league where you have to pick your starting lineup, there's a lot of weeks where he gets to be a really tough start.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's Martavis is kind of a wait and see because he's been out for so long as well. But, I mean, you saw what he did when he was on the field. Definitely a talented guy, and he's in a pretty high power offense. So I like his upside as well. Another player question here, though. So you took Cam Newton over Marcus Mariota, over Kirk Cousins, and over Jameis Winston. I mean, are you really thinking that there's a big bounce back season coming for Cam this year?
I am. I absolutely am. I mean, let's face it. He dropped off the charts last year, no doubt about it. Ended up somewhere around the 20th QB in scoring after, you know, being on top of the charts in 2015. Now, I'm not saying we get back to the 2015 numbers because I still don't think he's going to rush as much as he did that year. But I still think, you know, we saw a 16-touchdown drop-off from 2015 to 2016. I just don't see that happening again. I know he's a little dinged up right now, but, you know, Kelvin Benjamin is looking good. He looks like he's in really good condition. You got Funchess there who's playing well. You know, I think he's going to put some points up on the board. And if he gets even close to his rushing numbers that he had in 2015, I mean, I don't think he hits 10 touchdowns. But if he gets 8-9 touchdowns and, you know, 450 yards, maybe 500 yards, then his numbers are going to be right there back at the top five in QB.
All right, interesting. I think Cam is a special case this year as well. I don't see him having as down of a year as he did last year. I think it's going to be hard to replicate that 2015 year, but we'll see. We'll see what we can do.
Well, see, and this is like you have to make your choice when you're at the end of a draft, either at the 12th pick or the first pick. You have to make a choice of a guy you want because you're looking at a very long wait until your next pick. And if you are on the bad end of a quarterback run, then you're looking at the dregs of what's left. And, you know, so sometimes you got to be a little proactive and go out and get a guy you like. And that's something I've said all my life. Sometimes you just got to throw ADP out the window and go after the people you want, especially when you're drafting in a league like this with a bunch of people that know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You cannot make a wrong move in a draft like this because it will show very quickly. Much like my luck screw up, it showed very quickly.
Let's talk about luck for a second. Now, you know, we're still not sure when he's going to be back. And, you know, granted, it was a timeout pick. You already had Brady. Of course, you're not looking at luck.
Right.
But think about it. His current ADP still right now, according to my fantasy league, is 512.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got him at 704 because you timed out and he was the top guy left on their list.
Yeah.
But just think, it was 704 and he still hadn't gotten off the board. People are absolutely worried about luck and how much he's going to be on the field this year.
Well, they're already saying today, like more news is coming out just today that, you know, beat writers and they're hearing rumors from the team that he's probably going to be out till week 3 or 4 now. So it's not just week 1. I mean, this is getting worse and worse by the day. So I don't even know if I would have taken him in round 7 if I hadn't gotten Brady. Like, it's one of those things where I think I'm just scared enough of luck where I'm just going to shy away and just make him be somebody else's problem. But yeah, it was more because I had Brady that it was such a screw up, but you know, still.
No, but that's what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to figure out how far would he have fallen?
Yeah.
You know, if you hadn't grabbed him, if he wasn't a, you know, an automatic pick, how far would he fall at this point? And in my concern, I'm with you. I've drafted a lot of teams so far. I haven't drafted luck in any of them. There's so many good quarterbacks. You can get them so late that there's really no need to take that chance on luck, especially, as you say, more news is coming out every day that he may miss more time.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I was in a 10-team league this weekend, and it's just friends. He went in round 7 in that league as well. So somebody was willing to take the risk on him in round 7 in that league. And that's only 10 teams. So I was kind of shocked that he went that early.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, he's because of the screw-up, he's the 5th quarterback off. If I'm reading that right, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, I mean, honestly, looking at the way this all went down, I like all of these other quarterbacks through round 9 better than I think I like Luck this year.
Yeah, and right now I do.
Roethlisberger may even be there, but he's still got some issues with his road production. So I think I would have been looking at him right there, either 10 or maybe 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I can't fault you.
It's definitely going to be interesting with Luck. You know, the closer we get to the season, I think we're going to see him. It's either going to be all of a sudden really good news is going to come out and people are going to start taking him again, or he's going to plummet and will basically go, you know, he won't even be quarterback one drafted, I think. But we'll have to see. Speaking of players whose stock is dropping, you know, who else besides Luck are we seeing their draft stock fall as the season approaches? You know, and you probably can tell from our draft alone.
Well, there were a few people that actually their draft spot fell dramatically according to, against ADP. Adrian Peterson has a current ADP of 7-11. He didn't go in this draft until 10-06. You know, almost three rounds later. Again, you know, he's hearing all good things about him. He looks good in camp. Everybody's liking what he's doing. We know that Ingram isn't loved by management there. They've looked for other options before. All of a sudden, they're sitting on Adrian Peterson. If he comes out with even a little bit of what we saw before his injuries, then you're looking at a guy who's going to usurp that number one role, and to get him, you know, in the 10th round or even, you know, at the end of the 7th or beginning of the 8th, if he ends up turning that game around, it becomes that number one there in that offense. And you're looking at a guy that's going to so far exceed his ADP value, it isn't even funny.
Yeah, I like Peterson this year as well. You know, it's another guy that's over 30, you know, coming back off of a year off. And we've seen this from him with his injuries in the past. But that year after his injury has always been very productive. So it'll be interesting to see what he puts together. And you know, I feel like Ingram, with him there, Ingram can become more of kind of a get out in the flat and PPR kind of guy like they used to have with Sproles, but we'll see. So,
well, that's the great thing about this time of year. Okay. At this time of year, we're all right.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's an expert now.
Yeah, but we're all right. No matter what we say, we're right as of now.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, on the flip side of the draft stock falling, whose stock did you really see rising in this draft? Now that the season's kind of approaching and some of these preseason games have been, you know, played now and people have been on the field, who did you see jumping up a little bit?
Well, there's a few guys here that jumped up. We saw C.J. Precise vault up almost three rounds in this draft compared to ADP. His current ADP is 10.04. He went at 7.08 in this draft. And I got to say, I'm a little off on Precise. I mean, he looked good when he had the chance last year, but this is a kid that has injuries upon injuries upon injuries and scares me to death. Now you got Thomas Rawls who's back. They brought in Eddie Lacy to be their number one guy. Rawls looks good so far. Lacy, not so much, but they still brought him in to be the number one guy. If they keep his weight down, I think we see that from him. And I just think Precise in the 7th round with some of the other names that were on the board is scaring me a little bit. I'd be interested in what your guys' take is on him.
You know, I own Precise in a dynasty league only because I drafted him last year. I'm really kind of scared about him. I don't really know if I'll ever really be able to trust him or use him. And, you know, they're already saying from the Seattle camp that they're worried about him because he's now got a pretty severe groin injury, and they just aren't really sure about him anymore. And they're not really sure if he's ever going to be able to put a string of games together where he's fully healthy.
So yeah, no, I'm kind of off of Procise completely. I don't think I'm really going to get him in any of my drafts.
Yeah, I've been that way myself.
Yeah, I think, he's definitely shown some promise and some explosiveness in those games where he was 100% healthy, but he's just too much of an injury case for me. And with all the mouths to feed in that backfield, you know, big names like Lacy and Rawls. And honestly, I like Rawls to be the main guy there. I think, you know, Lacy just hasn't had it, you know, in his entire pro career. I feel like, you know, the first couple of years he might have been okay, maybe, but
the first couple of years he was pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah, but then, you know, then he started figuring out what a Wawa is or whatever the Wawa equivalent in Green Bay is. So, you know,
I think it was White Castle, but yeah.
Yeah. So. Either way, I think Rawls is the guy to own out of that backfield personally. But any other,
I like Rawls too. I got to say, I just like the way he runs. I like what they did. But you know, in this offense, they need that big guy that's going to go up the middle. They're going to pound the ball with him. I think Lacy's going to get a lot of that early down back work. But I think Rawls is going to get plenty of work to still be a good PPR investment.
Yeah, absolutely. So to finish up here, you know, I kind of put you on the spot on some of your picks. Throw out, like, some of the more interesting picks that you saw, you know, kind of good or bad in this draft, you know, ones that kind of made you go, that's interesting.
Well, we talked about it a little before, but I can't get over it. Gronkowski at 311, I would take that any day, every day. I don't care what you say. I'd love if he falls anywhere close to that in any draft, I would gobble him up in a heartbeat. There's no doubt about it. He's, you know, Jordan Reed, again, dealing with injury. He's practicing now, but for how long, you never know. Travis Kelce is an excellent tight end, but, you know, you just never know if Kansas City's going to use him enough from week to week. You don't have that problem with Gronk. Gronk steps on the field, Brady's looking for him. To me, he's just clear-cut number one, and if he's there, I'm taking him. Love that pick. The other one that kind of put me off a little bit was Brandon Cooks. And this is, you know, Mike Harmon making this pick at 2.04. Going before Amari Cooper, Dez Bryant. Look, I like Cooks. I love the fact that he's in New England. But again, this is a guy I like more in a best ball league than in an every week league, because in New England, I don't care if he's your number one wide receiver, doesn't mean he's going to do squat in any given week.
Yeah, hard to trust New England anybody unless it's Tom Brady from week to week. It's just too hard. Yeah, pretty much. Well, even Gronk, though, in a week to week because of his health.
Well, no, in the week to week, the only thing you got to worry about is injury. If he's on the field, he's scoring for you.
That's true.
He's one of the most consistent guys in the position, no doubt. But I just think he's outstanding. I've been on him since he came out. I like him a lot. But Cooks, you know, again, if it's just, you know, hard to see him every week being a major factor in that offense. You know, you still got Edelman there. You got Gronkowski there. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's going to get as much attention as people seem to think. And there's no way I could see myself taking him before Amari Cooper or Dez Bryant or T.Y. Hilton, all three wide receivers that went just after him.
Yeah, I thought one of the more interesting picks, I guess, for me, just looking at this was, and maybe I'm off on it, but I thought Doug Baldwin at the end of the second there was a little interesting. I feel like that might have been a little early, but then I'm looking at the names right after him. You know, Pryor's coming off a big year with Cleveland, of all teams, and now he's going to a much better and much more stable quarterback situation. You've got Allen, who's coming off of injury again, but has massive talent. Landry, you don't know what you're going to get because of the Cutler factor. And Alshon, who I do like, being a Philly boy, I'm glad we went out and got a big-name receiver for once. But, you know, he's got injury question marks too. So, yeah, maybe it's not as bad of a pick, you know, as I was initially thinking when I saw it.
Yeah, you just don't normally see him going in the second round, but I agree with you. The guys that went right after him are all guys that have question marks and pretty big ones. I mean, Pryor is probably the safest out of all the guys you mentioned. Allen has missed so many games in the last 2 years, it's hard to take him seriously at that point. Like you said, Landry with Cutler, we don't know if they're going to build up any kind of chemistry. We have to see that happen. Jeffrey, the same thing. We've got to see him stay on the field.
Yeah.
At that point, I can't really fault Baldwin as the pick there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I took Baldwin pretty early in that 10-team league of mine. I did take him in the second round. You know, I got past the Dez area, and I didn't like Hilton because of the Luck situation. I don't like Demaryius Thomas as much because of his quarterback situation, although he's okay, though. But again, all these other names, Pryor, Allen, Landry, they were all there. And I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna bank on a little bit of a bounce back from Russell Wilson. He's not going to be as banged up this year. And Baldwin's kind of all he's got for real there. And so Baldwin's going to see a massive target share. And I was PPR league. I was like, I'm going for it, and just took him. So I don't mind this pick at the end of the second round over a lot of these guys that went. In fact, I would have taken him probably a few picks earlier.
I don't know if I'd take him before Demaryius Thomas or T.Y. Hilton, the two wide receivers that went before him.
Yeah, man, but if that Luck injury really scares me, and that's going to severely hurt Hilton.
What,
so I
don't
know.
Think Scott Tolzien is an excellent quarterback?
He's in the NFL. He's doing better than we are. So
that's a good point.
That is very true. But no. So anyway, man, that is all we've got for you. So I want to thank you for coming on to the show, and everybody follow him at Fantasy Taz on Twitter. And have a good night, man. Again, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Joe, AJ. It's always fun to talk football. Anytime you guys need a guest, just give me a ring. Thank you.
All right,
absolutely,
good,
man. Good luck with your season.
You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, so that was Jim Day at Fantasy Taz. Definitely a good guy, and he knows his stuff for sure, so give him a follow. Anyway, man, on to some news and notes. I wrote down a few things here, and, you know, we kind of already touched on a few of them, but let's just kind of cover them again just to make sure we hit all the topics here. What are you thinking here with this LeSean McCoy possible trade? You know, there was a tweet that went out, and it just got Twitter all up, all up in an uproar, and it was there is talks that Tampa and Buffalo are working out a trade to send McCoy to Tampa. Now, I don't know who they were going to get in return, but I don't know if they were going to get like Doug Martin back or whatever, whatnot, but most likely the answer is no to that one. So if that trade had happened, or if any trade happens to McCoy, I don't love it. Granted, I'm McCoy in three different leagues now, so I'm really hoping it doesn't happen. But what are you thinking here? Like, you think he's really going to get traded?
I wouldn't be surprised to see him traded in general. I would be kind of surprised to see him go to Tampa Bay. I don't know if that's really a good fit for him. I mean, they've got, a plethora of, average to above average running backs there. I still feel like Doug Martin's got the most talent, but Quiz has been really good when he's been in there. So, I'm okay with him, but, you also have Chris Sims there. He's kind of a random PPR third down kind of fill-in guy, and he'll be the obvious backup, while Martin is out. I don't know, though. I think if they trade him to Tampa Bay, they've got to take Martin back, unless they really think, Quiz can be, Mike Gillisley of last year, and just come in there and kind of be a very solid starting running back if he's going to be the number one guy. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the move. I mean, hell, they just gave up Sammy Watkins for...
I know, man, and that's the scary part. So I took him, you know, in that 10-team league, I did take him. I had the 6th pick, and I'm sitting here going, man, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, this pick was awesome. I was getting Odell Beckham or Julio, whoever of those receivers dropped, and I was sitting pretty. Now, it was like, and as soon as the news came out, I was like, all right, fine, I'll take McCoy. Like, I like McCoy. I'm good with it. And then all these rumors came out that he might get traded, and I'm going, no, don't do this to me. Yeah. So I took him anyway. I know, like, I took him anyway, because those rumors kind of died down, and then the day after I got him, all those rumors came back out about him being traded to Tampa, and I was like, no. You know, the worst part about that trade at Tampa is I actually own both McCoy and Doug Martin in my Scott Fishbowl league. So if he got traded to Tampa and they didn't move Doug Martin back to Buffalo, I'm sitting with two really good running backs on the same team. Like, that basically ruins my team. Like, I'm done. Like, there's no way you bounce back from that in a league like Scott Fishbowl, because the rosters are so deep. There's nobody on the waivers that comes out. So that would be disastrous for me. So I'm really crossing my fingers that McCoy does not get moved. But if it does, man, I really think it hurts his stock wherever he goes. I mean, it's so late in the preseason. Like, you know, you don't see guys get traded this late that, you know, and they just have, like, stellar years. You know, running back's a little bit different. I feel like you can figure it out. You know, it's hand the ball off, go run. But, you know, you got to learn the blocking schemes and things like that, too, in the playbook. It'd be a big learning curve for him wherever he went. So that'd be tough. Moving on here to LeGarrette Blount. Your boy in Philly, there's talk that, you know, he was out of shape and he might get cut and Wendell Smallwood might be the guy. And then, like, a day later, coaches come out and go, nope, he's going to get a huge workload. I'm going, what the hell's going on here? like, somebody figure this out. What are you hearing, man? What's really going to happen here in Philly?
They'd be stupid to cut him. I mean, granted, they signed him – added major discount compared to his production last year. But again, he's another guy getting up there in age a little bit, you know, and the reason he was so productive last year is because of all the carries he got at the goal line. So I don't see why Philly would want to give up that presence, at the goal line. You know, they had Matthews the last couple years when he was healthy, and he did okay for him. You know, he got some touchdowns here and there and was a decent, you know, 5 yards or less kind of guy at the goal line. I mean, but I like Blount so much better. And, you know, the other thing you got to look at here is how many plays has he been on the field and how many calls has he actually gotten going his way? Not a lot. So I think it's more of a testament to, I don't want to say bad coaching, but, you know, the coach is not necessarily running him yet and giving him the opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see what he can put together in week 3 here. You know, I don't know if I buy the out of shape thing, because he sat out there for so long. What was he just not working out and not staying in football shape, thinking he wasn't going to get added to a team? That's stupid. Just no, get out of here with that. He's not Eddie Lacy.
He could be, but who knows, man? He's always been kind of a big guy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to cut him. I think it's silly. Like, I think he got signed for relatively cheap. If anything, he'll just be used as goal line, like you said, and it'll be whatever. But, you know, he's not somebody I'm really eyeing in drafts anymore. Not that I was, like, targeting him directly, but I kind of thought he had a little bit of upside, but I kind of think that upside's gone. It looks like they're looking to spread the ball between all the different receivers at this point, or running backs, sorry.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, they have good talent. I don't want to call it, you know, excellent talent on all sides of the ball and everything like that. But I do think they're a good team. I think they can surprise some people this year. but they do have a lot of mouths to feed. So, you know, it's my theme of the day here, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So, did you happen to watch the Monday night preseason game between the Giants and the Browns?
I did not, no.
You did not? So,
no.
I sat down, and I happened to click it on, and it was right when Beckham caught the ball and got drilled in the knee, and his whole leg, like, buckled. And it looked nasty, man. I'll tell you, it looked really bad. I don't know if you've seen the replay of that, but it looked bad. And he just came off the field, tried to walk to the locker room, was kind of hobbling a little bit. Looked like he was okay. Looked like maybe he just got taken out for precautions, whatever. Preseason, you know, who needs Odell Beckham to play in preseason, right? But then, like halfway down the tunnel, he just goes down on all fours, man. Like, he hands and knees, he just goes down and just couldn't move. And you're thinking, oh man, this is bad. Turns out it's apparently only an ankle sprain, but we don't know how severe of the ankle sprain. Would you be at all concerned about him in drafts? Like, if you got number 5 and he's sitting there, are you still taking him?
Yeah, I mean, depends on when my draft is, but I think I would. I mean, the guy's just nasty when he gets on the field. So, if it is only an ankle, that's better than a knee. But the problem with ankles is if it's a high ankle sprain, we've seen that come in and really, really, like, hurt people and hurt their playing time, keeping them out for longer than you would think. So that would concern me a little bit. I mean, if I was drafting, you know, tomorrow, I'd probably still take him. If I'm drafting, you know, the day before the season starts, obviously I'll have a little more information on it, hopefully, depending on what they put out there. But I would assume at this point, you know, even if it is something just super minor, you know, and it was more of a pain factor that was kind of having him, you know, go down like that and not even be able to walk to the locker room on his own, you know, then I don't see him playing in the postseason, or sorry, in the preseason any farther than this.
No, he's definitely not going to play any more preseason games.
There's no reason to.
But, you know, they are saying that he definitely could miss a week or two of the season now. I'm looking at RotoWorld as we speak. And the ESPN Giants reporter, Jordan Rainin, says it's not out of the question that Odell Beckham could miss a week or two of the regular season. And I mean, honestly, with, you know, just like you said, with ankle sprains, especially the high variety, you know, we've seen it keep people out for multiple weeks. They linger, man. They're bad. So you gotta hope. And you know, I think we've kind of we've exhausted the Andrew Luck deal, but a couple other quarterbacks that I kind of want to mention here. Not huge news, not really fantasy news for them, but DeShone Kizer looks like he's winning the job in Cleveland. What's your take on guys like Kenny Britt and Corey Coleman there if he wins the job, or even Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson? Like, what's your quick take on those guys' value if Kizer wins the job?
I mean, it sounds like he's getting it. And they want to try to trade Brock, which I feel like was kind of their stance all along. You know, they traded for Osweiler, and then they almost tried to flip him that next day, I feel like, or that first week or so that he was there. I think Kizer's got a long way to go. I think he needs some work to make himself NFL ready. So I don't know. I'm kind of staying away from the entire Cleveland situation this year. I mean, I do like Crowell some. I think it could lead to him maybe getting some more out of the backfield passing, because the line folds and then, you know, Kaiser's, I don't know what to do, and he just dumps it off to the closest guy. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's I just think Cleveland's a bad situation NFL wise and a bad situation fantasy wise.
Yeah, I think it kind of hurts everybody if Kaiser wins, because I think he'll drop down the ball and just take off himself, and it's just gonna ruin the value for a lot of the guys around him.
The other quarterback situation, which honestly I kind of feel weird saying this after kind of propping up Bortles earlier, but he has looked like he has forgotten how to throw a football in the preseason. It's that bad. And I mean, he shorted a throw to Allen Robinson a couple of times in the preseason. I mean, I'm not even talking like short of the ball where like Allen Robinson had to turn around and he tipped the ball with his hand. It missed him by like 5 yards. It was horrible. And so right now it's sounding like Chad Henne is going to start the third preseason game. And it looks like, you know, unless Henne implodes in the third preseason game and Bortles just comes out and lights the world on fire, it looks like this is Chad Henne's gig. You know, is this actually a good thing over Bortles now? You know, seeing the way that Bortles has played the last year and then into the preseason?
Well, we mentioned it in our QB preview show, I believe, maybe in a different show after when we were talking about receivers, but Bortles has finished ninth the past 2 years in fantasy football. Now, granted, there's been a lot of garbage time that's been thrown in, this and that obviously pumps stats up, whatever, but, I mean, the guy was productive. You know, Chad Henne is, he's always kind of been this backup guy who tends to get thrown into being the starter because of injury or whatever. But I don't know if I'm buying it. I do like the Jaguars' approach in making it the open competition, and I like that they're going to give Henne the start this week. I believe that's what I saw. So, yeah, I think, if anything, it's just going to drive Bortles to hopefully find the motivation from this to make himself better and be able to play better and get back to where he was, you know, 1 to 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, one can only hope, because, you know, we've seen the potential there, especially with Allen Robinson and stuff, but I'm not loving Allen Robinson. He saw him drop pretty far in the mock that we had last night, and, you know, he's fallen and everything else that we've done. But anyway, moving on here, man. So we wanted to finish up the show and have a little fun. So, you know, we've been talking mocks and we've been talking how to do some drafts. We're going to have some fun here, and we're going to do a little competition live on the air. We're going to both be doing the Fantasy Pros Mock Draft Simulator. It's going to be a PPR full draft from the 11th position. So we're going to be drafting one quarterback, two receivers, three receivers, two running backs, one tight end, a flex, defense kicker, and six bench. Now, we're not going to call out all our picks. You know, we'll kind of highlight the big ones here as we go along, so we don't bore you completely. But at the end of the draft, you know, we'll both get our score and our projected finish. I say, AJ, you and I put a little wager on here. Next time we're hanging out at the bar or wherever we go, a beer on whoever gets the highest grade. So, you know, it does like a number out of 100, I believe.
Yeah.
Let's whoever gets the highest grade has, you know, the other one has to buy them a beer.
All right, I'm down with that.
All right, man. So let's get rolling. So pick 11. See, it'll be interesting to see because, like, you know, you never know who you kind of get matched up with when it comes to the computer guys that you get matched up with. And very interesting right off the bat. I feel like I got a little bit of a steal here. I got Melvin Gordon at pick 11. That's interesting. I mean, huge 70% experts think I should take him. So I'm going to agree here and take Melvin Gordon with my first pick. Who you got?
I also had Gordon drop to me, but I went with a receiver, and I went with Jordy Nelson as my first pick.
All right.
I just think, yeah, I mean, Gordon.
Solid.
But Jordy is just, you know what you're getting with him, and, you know, it's going to be it's going to be worth it to me. So I like Jordy there.
Yeah. And you know what? You might've been right there. Cause I'll tell you, I thought I was going to have Michael Thomas wrap around and come to me, and he did not. So all those receivers off the board, if I want a receiver, I'm staring at Dez or Doug Baldwin. And I just talked about Doug Baldwin, but I can't quite take him that early here. Oof, man, that top receiver tier dried up quickly. And, you know, I might have to bite the bullet here and just go with a Dez. It's telling me to take Jay Ajayi, but in a PPR league, I don't think I can go two receivers early. I don't love it, but I don't hate it, except for the fact that I'm a Redskins fan. But mock draft, we're faking it here. I'm going Dez.
All right. Well, my turn. I had DeMarco Murray sitting there. Who else is sitting here? I got DeMarco. Michael Thomas also did not make it back. Melvin Gordon went right after. So I'm looking at DeMarco, T.Y., Jordan Howard, I think, was actually the highest rated. I took DeMarco, though. I mean, he's a known quantity. He's on a good offense. I think that he's going to have another productive year. A little worried about Henry jumping in and taking some carries from him, but I went with Murray.
Yeah, no, solid start for you, man. I kind of like yours a little better than mine. I have a feeling I'm going to be buying you a beer here if it keeps going this way, but
I'm okay with that.
I'm not getting the face of all to me like you are. That kind of sucks. That's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. Let's see here. My third pick. I'm staring at guys like Crowell, who actually surprises me that he fell this far. I mean, he's the number 11 running back ranked by them, and it's kind of between like him or a Kelsey or a Golden Tate for me, or even like a Larry Fitzgerald, kind of eyeing those guys up. I think I'm going to bite the bullet here and just take best on the board and take Crowell and hope that this works out for me.
Yeah, I had the same thing. Crowell came up with the top percentage. I already made the pick, so I don't remember what it was, but I think he was maybe in the 30s or 40s, 41% maybe.
Yeah.
But the same guys, you know, Tate, Fitzgerald, Kelsey was sitting there. I actually did not take Crowell. I dipped back. I did take a running back, but I dipped down and took Lamar Miller here. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how Houston's offense runs under Tom Savage. I think he's clearly a capable quarterback, and I think he's probably an upgrade over Brock. But I like a little bit of a bounce back here for Miller. So I went out and grabbed him. But
yeah,
now
no,
with the
I mean...
turn...
You know, Lamar Miller is going to get the volume, so that's kind of what you're banking on there with him.
Yeah, so my turn, I'm basically looking at the same guys. Golden Tate is 40%.
Right.
Experts agree. Well, I don't consider myself an expert, but I'm actually going to go with another known quantity here and take Mr. 10% of experts agree, Greg Olsen. Going a little early on tight ends here, but you told me,
now,
you talked about how I'd like to go early on tight ends. So,
tell me this, Has Travis Kelce and Gronk gone off the board for you already?
Yes. Kelce went okay. right after my Miller pick, and Gronk went with the 212 pick.
All right, so because that's interesting, because I'm sitting here looking at it, and I'm getting Golden Tate, Larry Fitzgerald. You know, I've got Ty Montgomery looking at. And then there are two tight ends up there, Kelce and Olsen. And honestly, I'm seesawing on Kelce. And I don't like taking tight ends early, but I feel like beginning of the fourth round to take Kelce here would be good. But I'll tell you, I've done a bunch of mocks. I've done a bunch of few real drafts here, and once you drop below this tier of receivers, especially since we're at the end, I mean, we're looking at the next guys to fill my wide receiver two. If I don't take somebody like Tate or Fitz here, I'm looking to fill my wide receiver two most likely with a guy like Macklin or Cam Meredith or Devontae Parker, and I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. So I'm going to go with another guy that's a PPR, a good PPR talent, and I'm going to go with Golden Tate.
All right. I like the pick. Like I said, he was the highest rated on mine at 40%. I would have been torn between him and Kelce if Kelce was still sitting there. But I know, again, I know what I'm getting with Olsen. We just heard Jim even talk about Kelce. You don't really know what you're getting week to week if they're going to involve him or not. So I like the pick, though. My second receivers are a little different than yours, though. I've got Stephon Diggs still sitting there with my next pick here, and he's at a 44%. I've got Jamison Crowder at 32. Drew Brees is creeping in at 17, and then Carlos Hyde, but I've already got two backs, so I'm not really looking for Hyde here. Receiver-wise, though, I got Willie Snead, I got Garcon, and I've got Brandon Marshall sitting there. I'm going to go ahead and select Brandon Marshall because I think he's only got 12% of experts agree. So you might be, but me putting him up here alone dropped Diggs down. So if, and obviously this won't factor into this mock, but if Beckham is out, you know, Marshall is getting that share. So I like him here.
Yeah. You know, so I'm looking here. Where are we at? We're the end of the fifth round.
We're at the end of five. Yeah.
The end of five now. And I'm looking at, like, Jordan Reed, Willie Snead. I'm actually kind of surprised that Willie Snead's sitting here. But Jimmy Graham, and it's, you know, it's telling me Russell Wilson. You know, we've got Rodgers, Brady, Breeze off the board. I'm not going quarterback. I'll wait on some quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of looking at a Snead. I really like him this year. Garcon's also sitting there. I kind of want to go Jordan Reed, man. I feel like if he can stay on the field, he's another one of those, you know, really elite tight ends. He is, in my opinion, he is a step above even Greg Olsen at this point when he is on the field. So I kind of want to go Reed. He is 2% higher, experts agree to take, than Willie Snead. And those were definitely the two guys that I, you know, as soon as it dropped, I was like, oh, those are the guys that I'm looking at. You know, best running backs right now are like Woodhead and Ingram and Powell. I've got two good running backs. I'm not worried about it. I'll wait on a running back at this point to fill my depth. I think I'm going to reach early here and go with Reed and just hope that some of these receivers fall and I can grab like a Decker or a Thielen or somebody like that with my wide receiver three and just hope that they pan out. And then there's a lot of guys that I kind of like late to feel like a flex. So I'm going to go Reed here and hope it works out. Oh, and it did. And it did, man. Sorry, I'm about to jump in here and make my next pick.
All right, go ahead.
Willie Snead. Mr. Willie.
Big Willie style, nice. Man. That'd be my team name if I had to do it, because this is so exciting. I still ended up getting Willie Snead, so that is fantastic. That's exactly what I wanted to have happen. So I'm going to snag Willie Snead. I've got my wide receivers, my running back, my tight end filled, and we will roll from here and go a little faster to kind of end this up. But go ahead, tell me who you got with number six.
See, I think if I would have taken Snead there, I probably could have turned and gotten Marshall as well. Crowder sitting 43%, Drew Brees sitting 29%, taking Brees.
Wait, you got who? How late?
Drew Brees, buddy. He's
in
sat
round,
there.
In round six?
Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I absolutely hate you. I absolutely hate you. You know who I'm staring at in round – okay, so round six, by the way, for me – would have been at best, I would have had like Matt Ryan in round six. I think he's the only quarterback who went in round six. That's insane,
yep.
Dude.
He's the only other one that went.
So now that I'm looking at it, though, it's got, it's telling me take CJ Anderson. No, thank you. I've done that. Not going there again. DeSean Jackson, he's a best ball league only type of guy for me. I won't do it. Zach Ertz, I've already got a tight end. No, thank you. I will take him off my board. I'm thinking, I'm not usually one to say like, oh, just fill your starting lineup first. I still do have a flex. I'm not really feeling the options. I am a huge Mariota believer this year. So him sitting into the seventh after a bunch of quarterbacks are gone, dude. I'm talking 9 quarterbacks are off the board in this league already. The only ones of the top 12 by their rankings that are left are Mariota, Cam, and Big Ben. And I will take Mariota over both of them in a heartbeat. So thank you, Mariota.
Yep.
You are on my team.
Nice. So my pick now at 7. DeSean just went before me. Derek Carr and Newton went. Andrew Luck, damn. This was like the round of quarterbacks in mine.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wilson, Cousins, Roethlisberger, Luck, Newton, Carr. So I'm sitting with Macklin at 50%. And now I do like Macklin coming to Philly. Baltimore.
Baltimore.
But I'm going to go with 29% instead of 50% and go Cam Meredith here, round out my right wide receivers.
Yeah, dude, you're getting some phenomenal value.
Flips around. I'm digging it. I'm into it. I think now I don't really like the guys that are up there. So I'm going to go back up and take my boy Blue, Frank Gore. He is sitting up there at only 8%. Spencer Ware is sitting at 44%. But I don't know if Spencer's going to hold it down enough. I'm going to go with the low end here and take Frank Gore as a flex. We don't know what Luck's going to be. I think if Tolzien's in there, he's going to rely on Gore a lot. And I think it's a strong pick. I mean, the experts obviously don't agree, so that could hurt my score, but yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Frank Gore fan, but get him that late seems pretty crazy. Now I've already made my next pick in the beginning of round 9, or the beginning of round 8, and I did snag CJ Anderson. I mean, there's just like a lack of options on the board at this point for me, so it is what it is. I'm looking at my 9th pick, end of round 9. I'm not loving what I see. I'm looking at like a wide receiver to help me fill out. I'm looking at like Corey Davis or Rishard Matthews. I like Mariota, but there's a lot of weapons on that team. I'm not loving those options, but after that, it's Zay Jones. I don't like rookie receivers. Ted Ginn, he's hit or miss every week. Sterling Shepard, no thanks.
I think I'm going to have to go a little safe here and go with Rishard Matthews and just, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, so I kind of got kicked in the, you know what, on that last run after my 8% Gore pick. Although Spencer Ware did take 5 more picks before he went. I was really looking at Thielen. I was looking at Adrian Peterson above Gore potentially. And I was looking at Mike Wallace. And Mike Wallace just went with the 9-10 pick. So All three of those guys that I was looking at are off the board now. And Paul Perkins is sitting there with the highest rating at 53%. Now, I just took one running back with Frank Gore, so I don't want to have to take another one, but I'm going to go with Mr. Out-of-Shape Philly LeGarrette Blount at 21% here. I just think he's more stable than Perkins right now, I feel like. Maybe. That could probably easily change. And then I'm just looking at a lot of those same receivers that you had there, the Corey Davis, the Matthews, Marvin Jones. Don't really like any of these guys, but
no.
I only see what he comes up to. Yeah, Marvin's sitting at a 20%. I'm just going to stick with Matthews,
you know,
man. 29%. I mean, there's not really a clear-cut choice there, so I've already got 4 running backs. I need now I have 4 receivers, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm in round 11. I took Paul Perkins with my round 10 pick. I don't love the roster construction, but you know, and look, this is what happens when you take either a tight end or a quarterback a little early. You do have to take sacrifices elsewhere. Now, you know, right now it's telling me to take, you know, Jason Witten, and it's like, no, thank you. So, and then it's then telling me to take Dak Prescott. Like, get out of here. It's crazy. After that, man, it's got Robbie Anderson and freaking Jonathan Stewart on my board. Like, gross. Like, gross on both of these guys.
You're good.
I'm getting absolutely nothing here. Like, let's be honest. I'm getting absolutely nothing. Am I gonna? Well, I don't know what to do here. It's not great. I mean, I may just have to go Robbie Anderson just because at least he's the wide receiver one on that team. And hope he just gets volume. But I don't know what that means for the Jets. It's gross, man. It got ugly fast for receivers. So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Robbie Anderson just because it's there. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, Anderson's already gone on my board. I'm looking at Terrence West as the lead at 51%.
Oh, I like him that late in yours, man. That's fit. He's gonna be the starting running back.
Oh, I know. I went running back receiver. So, all right. Well, I'll go ahead and jump on him, see what happens, and then of course, Tyler Lockett was my next highest receiver. He's gone. The next best is Robert Woods at 22%. Jack Doyle's sitting there at 37, but I don't want another tight end. I've already got one that's a stud.
No.
So, Robert Woods, hello. Welcome to the team.
Right. Let's see here. My next pick, I'm looking at Fleener Prescott. Jonathan Stewart still chilling there for me, but no thanks. Kind of want to get another receiver, but I don't love my options. I mean, it's Stocks and Lockett, Galladay. Galladay's ADP is skyrocketing. I think it's a little out of control now.
Yeah.
Man, there's just not a whole lot of love at receiver left. So, you know what, man? I'm going to do something I almost never do.
Taking a backup tight end?
No, I'm going to take a defense in round 12 because the Seahawks are staring me in the face. and I love it.
Dude.
I never do it.
Cool. I guess you didn't see my thing there. I said, are we waiting until 15 and 16 to take our defense and kicker?
Oh, all right.
No. Yeah, it's cool. We'll take them. They're already off my board, so I can't take them. So that's fine.
I don't like the options. Like, there's, I mean, I could
Dude,
take. A
I
Geo.
Would. I would have no problem taking the Seahawks defense if I didn't like any of those other guys. So do it.
I don't want any of these guys. Like, they're gross.
Yeah.
These guys suck. I'm gonna take Seattle here. Just we'll see what happens. Like, but I feel like if I let guys like Doxson go, like anybody left, like who cares? Like, I'm looking here. Like, look, Doxson went fine. I'm left with like Cooper Kupp. I'm fine with Cooper Kupp. I'm looking with like J.J. Nelson. I like J.J. Nelson. Like, I'll take these guys a whole round later and take an elite defense who I can rely on every week, right? So, yeah, you know what? I'm absolutely going to do it. I'm going to sit here at the end of round 13. I'm gonna snag a Rivers. Why don't you take a backup quarterback?
He's 52% on mine right now. Like,
60%.
Nope.
Yeah, no, we are not taking backup quarterbacks. We are not taking backup tight ends. We are not taking backup kickers or defenses. We are going to draft like we normally would. So I think what I'm going to do here is actually I'm going to switch it up and just pray that he's still sitting there in the turn. I'm actually going to take Quiz Rogers because I like Quiz. There's a possibility he keeps a starting job even after what's his name comes back, Doug Martin. And then I'm going to turn around and get do I want J.J. Nelson or do I want Cooper Kupp? I kind of like Cooper Kupp, but I like Cooper Kupp like a round later, but he's not going to be there in this simulator.
He's already gone on mine, I think. Yeah.
What round are you in? 14,
15? I'm 13 I'm picking here.
Interesting.
13, 14.
Yeah. I mean, I like Kupp's upside. Nelson's, you know, battling with a bunch of guys there. I mean, there is Sammy Watkins, but I don't know. That's, you know, screw it. I'm going Cooper Kupp. I like him.
All right.
Ralph 15.
All right. Yeah, this one was telling me to take Philip Rivers. Then I X'd him out, and then it was telling me to take C.J. Fedorowicz. Now I'm not taking a backup tight end. So now Minnesota Vikings D is my top D pick here. Denver, Seattle, Houston, and Kansas City all gone. I threw New England up there, and Minnesota is still sitting at 40. I don't know if I buy into Minnesota. They had a great first half, not as great of a second. So I'm going to go ahead and reach on a D here, and I'm going to take New England. Yep, everybody that I still had listed basically made it on my turn. Ah, damn it. Jamal Williams did not. So I could have grabbed him.
He is long.
And then probably still been able to take New England with the second one. I don't want to take this. I don't really want to take any of these guys. I've got Quiz there, so I'll just take Quiz. Why not? He was low. And then Jamal Charles was another one I was eyeing. He went right after Quiz. Kenny Stills I had up there. See, and the guy that I was sitting on, Breshad Perriman, was a lower percentage. He's now turned back around, and he's sitting staring me right in the face again.
So my last two picks here, man, I'm on the 15-16 turn. You know, I'm looking at taking like a Jeremy Hill, and I'm really shocked he's still sitting there. I could pick up another receiver. That'd be my seventh receiver with J.J. Nelson. I think I'm going to take Jeremy Hill. I was thinking about doing something different, maybe taking my kicker just before then, you know, the only other guy to take a kicker is off the board. But I'm going to hope that, you know, I'm still going to get either Gostkowski or Tucker, so I'll be fine. So I'm going to take Jeremy Hill. And then, so Tucker went first, which makes perfect sense. And I'm perfectly happy with Stephen Gostkowski. So there we go. And I'm sure let's finish yours out and let's see what our scores are.
I am going to go ahead and take I took Breshad Perriman because he was sitting there. Kicker. Hello, Justin Tucker. He is sitting there. Gostkowski went
first.
Yeah. So I will take Justin Tucker. 90% experts agree. Well, it's the only position I have to fill, so that makes sense.
Yeah, no kidding. I was at like 90. I was at like 91%.
No,
I was like, oh,
I need to just not have a kicker.
I think this thing will let you not take kickers, which is like I don't think I've ever actually tried that.
I don't think it does trying, actually.
But
because you have nowhere to put it. So
all right, man.
All right, drum roll.
What's your? That's funny. We said the same thing. All right.
You
go first, man. What's your score?
All right, run down my team. I got Drew Brees, DeMarco, Lamar, Jordy, Brandon Marshall, Cam Meredith, Olsen, Frank Gore, New England, Justin Tucker, and then benches Blount, Matthews, Rashard Matthews, Terrence West, Robert Woods, Quiz Rogers, and Perryman. I'm sitting at an 85 out of 100.
All right. 85.
You get it?
And I think you can tell out of my voice that I'm very happy with that score. So I got Mariota, Melvin Gordon, Isaiah Crowell, Dez Bryant, Golden Tate, Willie Snead, Jordan Reed, CJ Anderson in my flex, but I could switch that out with any of the following: Rashard Matthews, Paul Perkins, Robbie Anderson, Jaquizz Rogers, Cooper Kupp, Jeremy Hill. I have a feeling that Jeremy Hill late pickup put me over the top. Obviously, Seattle and Gostkowski. I finished with an 88, a B plus. You finished with a solid D, my friend. I got the B plus. I love it. So next time we are out, I'm buying the most expensive freaking beer I can find at the bar. And you're buying it for me.
I will say two things. Don't always assume that the most expensive beer is going to be the best tasting beer.
Absolutely.
I made that mistake once, and it was a $14 or $15 something, and it was some sort of chocolate nonsense fuckery that I did not enjoy at all.
Okay, well, I never drank something like that, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this was a fun exercise, man. I love doing these drafts. Whenever I get like 5 minutes at work or something like that, I just kind of pump one out. You know, take a little break. I do these drafts. It's a great exercise. Look, the projections and what they pop up isn't perfect. Nobody's pre-rankings are. But you draft against these guys, you know, you draft against computer versions of the experts that do the consensus rankings on Fantasy Pros. So, like, what better people can you draft against? You don't get into these drafts with, you know, on ESPN or Yahoo or anywhere else where people draft, like, the first three rounds and then they're like, peace out, and you're drafted against the ESPN computers. Who wants to do that? This is a great tool. It takes 5 minutes. Go to fantasysixpack.net. Go to socalledfantasyexperts.com. Click the links to get to these. There's other great things that you can – like, these are free. You can sit there and purchase add-ons to where you can plug in your actual drafts and use this during your live drafts. It will stream your draft through the tool, so you can use it to draft your team, and it is fantastic. It, you know, you will never miss the value pick. It will always tell you the best available. So it is fantastic. This is a great tool to use. I recommend it for everybody. I use it. I use it personally in my own leagues. So it is fantastic. But yes, I am glad that I won the beer off the year. I thought you were gonna smoke me, man. You were getting some phenomenal value. I was like, holy cow. How did Drew Brees fall to like the sixth round for you, or whatever that was, round seven?
It was six. Yeah, I did have some ridiculous drops, so I'll take it. I'm okay with it. I'm actually running another one real quick just to see what I come up with.
That's funny. I love, you know, you can do the analyzed results. I would be finishing third in this league according to it. I'm curious to see what my – so I had
two steals, and it was C.J. Anderson and Paul Perkins. I'm surprised I didn't say that Jeremy Hill is a steal for me. My reaches, if any, I did not have any. So that's actually good. It means I'm not taking players too early. So that's good. So there you go. Use this tool. You can find out everything. He thinks my bench is the worst of the entire league. That's funny as hell. Number 12. Yeah, that'll happen when you take Robbie Anderson.
It's like, okay, this was expected. So my current run through right now, I've still managed to get Breeze. I got DeMarco again. I got Woodhead as my second running back. I got Nelson again. I got Alshon fell to me. Adam Thielen fell to me this time. I still took Greg Olson kind of early. I grabbed Mike Wallace, who fell to me in my flex spot there. And I don't know. I still have some more picks to do, but whatever. So either way, I'll see how this one goes, and I'll let you know off air.
Yeah, let's see if you can actually beat my score. So anyway. All right, man. So that's it for the show. No Twitter questions. Actually, somebody asked me a kicker question, but I kind of refused to answer that on air. He called me the kicker guru because I finished number one in the in-season kicker rankings last year. So I laughed, but I knew the questions would come as soon as that happened. So I was like, all right, fine. So whatever. So that's all I got for the show. Definitely a good one. We've got one more week left pretty much until I guess we have 2 weeks until the season starts. But, 1 week left of preseason. We'll probably cover a bunch of, preseason week three news, kind of who looked good and that kind of thing. This is going to be the dress rehearsal game coming up this weekend. So big weekend in preseason football. And I urge everybody listening, watch preseason week three. If you're not going to watch any other preseason football, watch week three. You will learn a lot about these teams and these players. So I urge you to watch it. There's no other better way to learn than watching for yourself. So that's it. Everybody have a good night, and we will see you all next week.
All right. Have a good one.